Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod save the king.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host Anne Gripper, and we're going to be talking about Kate again today because she came and spoke to us in a very personal video message on Friday, not to us the podcast but to us the world, to share the news that she is having treatment for cancer, which obviously I guess shocking, sad. We wish her a very speedy recovery, but at the same time, I guess we also have to remember that it's something that a lot of other people are facing as well. And Kate very much shared that message as well, signing off with the "You are not alone." I'm not alone either. I have my good friend, Daily Mirror Royal Editor Russell Myers with me, Russell, to talk about everything. We're recording Wednesday afternoon, so a week on from when Kate was recording that message in, you know, a very lovely sunny garden in Windsor with, you know, cherry blossom and daffodils in the background, which people, given the wild context in which everything had been appearing in, that was seen as like a, okay, this was done this week, genuine, you know, there is proof in the background. But also the daffodil being a symbol of hope, it's been the symbol for Marie Curie, battling a major cancer charity here, all of those little, I don't know. I mean, it's spring. There's going to be nice flowers if you're sitting outside, but everyone reads so much into it. I mean, when you saw that video, Russell, what did it make you feel?
Well, hi. Well, what a week. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. I mean, the weeks have been rolling into one. You know, we haven't really, our feet haven't touched the ground this year. And when you heard those words from the Princess of Wales, you're just stopped in your tracks. I mean, I thought it was absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, definitely the quote that she said right at the end, "For everyone facing the disease in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone." That really struck a chord. But my main takeaway from it was how she described her and William contemplating how they would break the news to their children, and they hadn't even had to sort of digest this incredible bombshell themselves, and what that means for Kate moving forward, and William obviously been taking leave of absence, getting on with royal duties over the last few weeks as best as he could, putting on a brave face, looking after children, no doubt supporting his wife. His father's obviously got cancer as well. An incredible set of events, but describing in detail about how they had to personally tell their three children and reassure them that she's going to be okay. And I think it's just absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah, I'm the same age as Kate, and it just made me think about, gosh, if I had to explain that to my daughter, how on earth you would do that, and what sort of feelings are running through your mind that is already racing 10 to the dozen, and what does it mean for your health? What does it mean for your family? The wider family obviously going through a huge tumultuous period this year after Kate and the King have been in hospital with various ailments, then the King's cancer diagnosis. And now we know that Kate's own diagnosis came just days after. It's been an absolutely incredible period. You know, and I think sometimes Kate can get it in the neck a little bit, but she's not that great at public speaking. She doesn't necessarily like doing it. And it was undoubtedly her finest hour in her darkest hour. I thought she was, her delivery, you know, wavered a little bit, but it was largely impeccable. Incredibly brave to do that as a video statement. She chose not to do it as a written statement because she wanted it to be personal. And no doubt, you know, that I've spoken to people at the palace, and whilst the royals aren't sitting up on Twitter at all hours of the night, they know what's been said, and they know all these crazy conspiracy theories that have been peddled by people who have absolutely no insight into the workings of the royal family, let alone what has been happening with Kate and the king and the rest of the family. And I think, you know, I've really thought a lot about how, as a society, something's gone wrong really in the last few weeks. And a lot of people really need to take a sort of long, hard look at their behavior and the way that they make comment on social media, because I think someone at Kensington Palace said it best when they described, you know, these people are humans too. They're not just completely immune to criticism or speculation or commentary on their private lives. This is something they are really facing alone, I suppose. But on that token, they do recognize their public figures. And I think that Kate, after digesting that such incredible news, wanted to deliver a statement to the world and reassure people.
Yeah, I think this would come out that she felt it was more compassionate to do it that way. And, you know, if you think if you are going to break news to somebody, then you do try to do it in person. It's more human, and there's probably a greater level of reassurance that she was able to give by us seeing her, and her tone or her emotion changed through that speech, which she wrote herself. Apparently it all came together very quickly. She wrote it all herself. But I guess if you've worked out how to explain this to your children, that's the big deal. Having to say something to the rest of the world, you know, you've gone through so many different conversations with the people, or, you know, sort of gone through them in your mind of how you're going to tell this to the three small people that you care most about in the world. And when she talked about how she had spoken to the children, she kind of lifted, and it felt like almost like she was talking, I don't know, maybe this is my head and I'm imagining too much, but like she was talking to them again, and it was her being human and feeling, I don't know, comfortable. I totally agree with you. I thought the same, that her public speaking has not necessarily always been the strongest string in her bow. But this isn't public speaking in the same way. It's her delivering a very personal message, and her being human again, I guess that word. And I think it was very clear, sort of the messages coming through is, thank you for the kind people who haven't been doing mad things, but have been genuinely caring about what has been going on and how I am and how we are. George, Charlotte and Louis are the most important people in this situation, and William and I have been working together to look after them and work through that, and they were the priority, never mind you lot out there. But also, I guess saying, I do need William, don't give him a hard time if he's not around as much as you might have wanted him to be or think he could be, because I need him at the moment. That's the sort of subtext that I saw there. But I thought she did a really good job doing it all, like one take, no editing, the BBC studio said. It was just it did feel really natural when it was such big news to share.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, it struck me what an incredible delivery. I mean, not cracking up when speaking about your children, talking about delivering the news that you're undergoing treatment for cancer. I take my hat off to her.
It choked me up listening to that.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't help be moved by it. I mean, an absolute bombshell, especially considering the palace, and they were right at the time, had said that it was non-cancerous. So treatment, discussing how, you know, she'd had very serious major surgery, had recovered, had been concentrating on her recovery for that, and then obviously this secondary diagnosis. I mean, it's I can't imagine we're going to see her for a while. Then the palace has said that she may come back for certain duties here and there, but that shouldn't signify a necessarily return to full-time duties. I think she's going to take an extended period out of public life. But it's interesting that the king is kind of reintroducing himself back to public life. I mean, we've seen him this week in a couple of engagements. We've seen him out and about in his car in London, no doubt going to his cancer treatment. And we'll come on to it later, but he's going to be leading the family at Easter service on Sunday. And I think that's really important because there's such a, let's say again, tumultuous time for the royals, and they really do need a period of stability. But gosh, they haven't really had that for years. I mean, this, the last 5, 6, 7 years have been an absolute roller coaster for them. But this is a really testing time now. And I, again, I keep thinking about William, thinking, gosh, he's got his father who's undergoing treatment, his wife, his three children at home, worrying about taking on more duties or scaling back or having to represent the firm. Camilla's, you know, really ramped up her engagement, and she's 76. I mean, her schedule's absolutely incredible at the moment. So there's a lot on his shoulders as well. But first and foremost, no doubt, of course, his responsibilities and his thoughts will be towards helping his wife recover in the best way possible. So it's a pretty topsy-turvy time for everybody at the moment.
I did mention for William as well, though. It's just the other thing, sort of my heart went out to him in it, because, you know, Kate is very positive and she's going to be fine and it's preventative chemotherapy, and obviously we hope for a really good outlook for her. But if anytime somebody is diagnosed with cancer, you have that moment and you're scared for them. And William, obviously, I mean, he was much older than his young children are when he lost his own mother. But he, you know, he knows what it is like to grow up and miss your mother from important elements of your life, you know, leaving school, going to university, your wedding, your children arriving, you know, all of those things. And that, you know, that must have been going through his mind as well over the last few weeks. But I think it's, you know, I hope the King is genuinely well enough to come back and do more. And I would imagine he's been absolutely itching to do more anyway, because I can't imagine him, you know, sitting at home watching daytime TV is really his preferred way of doing things. I don't imagine that is what he's been doing. But I guess we saw it when William was coming back into public life, and then when the king was diagnosed with cancer, and he was going to be sort of withdrawing from a bit longer. And now again, while William is taking time off over the Easter school holidays to really spend time together with Kate and the kids, we've got the King coming back out for the Easter service. And it is the Easter holidays that was really kind of integral, I guess, in many ways to when Kate chose, having decided, yes, I need to say something, or I need to share this with people, a video is going to be the best way to do it. Because ultimately, you know, if she's going to be having further treatment, the maelstrom of how everything was last week, you know, the chaos and mayhem that would have ensued around there. So I hope she didn't feel entirely boxed into a corner needing to do it for fear that other things would have ended up, you know, Windsor Farm Shop style, ending up out in the public domain. But with the children breaking up for their Easter holidays, that was the time that they identified as, okay, now we can share this news, because we can take the children away and there won't be all the school gate chatter and the playground chatter of, you know, your mum being all over the front pages of the newspapers because she's poorly, rather than just because she's out opening a hospital or whatever nice things, the work that gives her such joy, that she's itching to get back to. But the timing of Friday, and tell us how you found out about it, Russell.
Well, there'd been sort of, I mean, there'd been rumours that there was going to be an announcement. I mean, this has been happening for a good few days. I will give the palace some, you know, their due, because they gave us an extended period. Normally, with big announcements like this, you get maximum an hour's sort of heads up. But I think they understood the nature of this and the ability we needed to tell it in a compassionate way and do it justice, really, because no doubt they knew it was going to be a huge, huge worldwide story. And it is obviously following on from the incredible interest that had been happening over the last few weeks of Kate's condition and her surgery and the fact that we hadn't seen her for a long time. Then we had those farm shop images, and we had my story about the the allegations concerning her private medical records being breached. So we got a couple of hours heads up, and you know, we met with Kensington Palace on a Teams meeting, and it was really shocking. I mean, I don't think anybody expected that to drop. I had an inkling, I suppose, because when we're invited to a meeting, you think this is obviously very serious, and your mind is just taken to what could be the most serious thing. And that was certainly on my mind, but it was no less shocking to hear. But I think when we saw the video, or I had been talked through the content of it, it was delivered impeccably. And I think a lot of people have really, yeah, really thought about what they've been reading or what they've been discussing with their friends or family. I mean, this story, the conspiracy theories, has got wildly out of control. And I think there is a lot of people who are assessing their own conduct over the last few weeks. We've had celebrities coming out, Blake Lively, Stephen Colbert, over the last few days, apologising essentially for their conduct and the fact that they had been poking fun of Kate and the Photoshop fails or what have you. So, you know, maybe we are turning a corner. I definitely think there is... still will be an interest, of course. I mean, we did a front page this week about the NHS and Macmillan Cancer Charity divulging the fact that they'd had a huge surge in requests for information about the signs and symptoms of cancer, no doubt crediting the Princess of Wales for her brave public statement as a direct correlation for those searches. So, but we're at Easter holidays now. Kids are going to have a break. Interesting that Kate also said that they both wanted to get the kids off school, then make the statement, so they weren't being, I suppose, asked about it by school children at their relevant school. So
kids can be as mean as social media as well.
Yeah, I mean, or just certainly, you know, no filter, I suppose. So, you know, George and Charlotte are definitely of an age where kids would probably come up and ask them.
Is your mum going to die? Like, that would be the kind of thing you could imagine kids asking in the playground, and the kind of stuff that you don't want them exposed to. So many lovely messages shared on social media since. I mean, Brother James, his one, like, love it. I'm lucky enough to have two brothers and a sister, and, you know, siblings can be the best. We see with William and Harry that obviously there can also be trials in relationships like that, but James definitely in Kate's corner. Over the years, we've climbed many mountains together as a family. We will climb this one with you too. Mountain emoji, heart emoji, which I just thought was really simple and optimistic. It's just like, I don't know, it was very lovely. Giovanna Fletcher, who obviously was the is the podcast host of Happy Mum, Happy Baby that Kate appeared on a while back. She kind of called out all of the conspiracies and speculation, and then saying so much going on in her world, in her heart, so much happening that she wants to navigate carefully to protect her young children. Princess of Wales has always led with dignity, grace and compassion. Working alongside her always gives the greatest lessons in how to care, how to listen, how to human, which I thought was rather nice. And the King has also been, I guess showing his love and his how impressed he is with his beloved daughter-in-law. Beloved is not a word that we often hear, I guess, but it somehow fits very much with his natural style, and it does convey quite how much he cares and values her.
Well, again, I mean, I was speaking to someone at the palace saying that Kate was certainly moved to make this statement in part after the incredible reaction the King had received on the backdrop of, again, there was a huge surge in requests for information on websites of the NHS and cancer charities. He'd definitely been lauded for how brave he was talking about it. I mean, this is something that we haven't expected or seen from in years gone by of members of the royal family talking about their personal medical situations. But again, I think when you look at the period we are in now, and I keep saying it, well, you know, we're in a very different period of time for the royal family, not only from years ago, but from just weeks ago. I can't imagine that they would have ever expected something to happen like this. And now we're dealing with two of the most senior members of the royal family having treatment for cancer, speaking about their various treatments as well. And it's just it's a tough one for them to take, obviously, but I think that they have been hurt by the speculation. They've been caught off guard about it. Kensington Palace had certainly been caught off guard. They didn't necessarily know how to deal with it. Do you comment on it? Do you not comment on it? Then you hit out at the madness of social media. Then you're fueling more commentary on it. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I think by her coming out and speaking in her own time, which was very, very important, lots of people said to me, was she sort of forced into it? Was there a period where our story about the medical records, did that force her hand essentially? Did they think that her medical situation was about to be exposed? I don't, I mean, we understand from her own words that she wanted to focus on the children, and the children were totally the main focus. And therefore, as soon as they were had broken up for school, that's when she was going to announce it. So it's just an incredibly difficult time for them all, isn't it? But I do think by the king sort of tiptoeing back to duties, hopefully he's getting on with his own treatment. And all of our best wishes are towards all of them, right?
Absolutely. And things make a lot more sense now looking back as well. William's withdrawal from the memorial service and probably the hoo-ha about the Trooping the Colour related announcements of this, of the assumption that Kate would be there because it's after Easter. But then actually, hang on a minute, there is something
Well, it all
else going
becomes clear
on.
now, doesn't it?
And
That's
now it all makes
the.
sense. But that, it takes time. Question for you. What is your understanding of when and what and how Harry and Meghan knew? Because there's been some suggestions that Harry found out from TV. There's been some suggestions that maybe they were given a heads up, but not very long before, because that, to a certain extent, the trust of sharing such personal and, I guess, news that they wanted to be in control of how it came out, that level of trust, but also that relationship of, the first contact again being, oh, by the way, Kate's really poorly. What's your sort of best understanding of how the
Well,
Sussexes
my
found out?
understanding, it was a very, very closed group of people who knew about the statement. The King and Queen was obviously told about it prior. You understand from the reports earlier this week that the King met Kate the day before. They had a lunch together. Interesting how their sort of bond has really come close together over the last few years, I suppose. And especially after the Queen's death, we saw a lot of PDAs, I suppose. There was quite some touching moments during the King's coronation, and of course after the late Queen passed away. But no doubt they will bond over their relative treatments. My
And he
understanding
was
about Harry
Harry
and
toddling down the corridor to go visit her when he was when away
yeah,
from
I do
hospital,
like
to
that.
go around for going heading off down for chats and
I keep thinking he's popping his head into the wrong door, and somebody just sort of thinking they've seen a ghost, or yeah. Not, but they're having an episode, and the King's just popped in. My understanding is that Harry and Meghan weren't told ahead of time. They learned about it after, as with the rest of the world. Perhaps maybe they might have been given a brief heads up, but it certainly wouldn't have been very long. I mean, the issue about them releasing that statement, I thought it was very surprising that I know we all call her Kate, and I know Harry does, but I thought it was very surprising in an official statement that they called her Kate. I mean, should have afforded her the grace of using her title. I thought it was quite strange,
Well, they
but
like to use
maybe.
their own title.
Well, that's precisely the point, right? So. Anyway, we can't.
There is.
It was nice. We understand they had been in touch privately as well. Will this be a precursor to Harry reaching out to them both when he's in the UK? I mean, he spoke about being in the UK or traveling via UK in the coming months during that American TV interview. I don't think so. I think William and Kate will have more pressing things than having Harry around for tea. And there's been a lot that has happened in recent months and years. However, health is a great leveler, isn't it? Families do come together sometimes in times of trouble, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Harry's, well, expected back in May for a service at, I think it's St Paul's, for the Invictus Games sort of celebration and 10th anniversary. And Meghan is listed as TBC, apparently, on the schedule. So we'll see what happens there and whether they do meet up with, well, which bits of the rest of the family, I guess, they meet up, or who might even attend that service. I mean, one knock-on impact, I mean, not the biggest knock-on impact in the history of the world, but Kate's uncle, Gary Goldsmith, was due to be at the Celebrity Big Brother final that evening. He pulled out of that, which is understandable. He was there was an interview in the Times magazine on Saturday, which had been, you know, published several days, quite often magazines for the weekend go to print much earlier in the week, so well before the statement had come out. So the Times in their main coverage in the newspaper had a little note at the bottom saying today's Times magazine was printed several days before this news came out. So you've got,
oh, interesting.
So it's I haven't read any interviews with Gary Goldsmith before, but it's a very fun interview. He is he's drinking champagne in a nice restaurant in London, having a right old chat with the interviewer. He's not holding back. Meghan is laughing girl. He's not a big fan. not a big fan of Prince Andrew. Thinks Andrew's a far worse uncle than he is, essentially. The arrogance and naivety, I've got more chance of making it onto the palace balcony. And he also talks about meeting Camilla at William and Kate's wedding and saying there'd been like a news sting on him and drugs and prostitutes. The suggestions around drugs and prostitutes, he's like, I wasn't doing drugs, I didn't use prostitutes, I was just pointing them to some people who could help, I think was essentially the essence of it. But he said, I said, sorry for all the embarrassment in the press, and she was just lovely to me, this is Camilla. She said, oh, we've all been there, I've certainly been there. She's just a totally beautiful human being. So he was he's very chatty, Gary Goldsmith. So
but he certainly likes the sound of his own voice, that's for sure.
So that was fun.
I mean he probably did well to pull out of the final, because didn't he get booed when he came out? He was the first one to be booted out as well, and then he got booed.
Yeah, well, a few weeks ago, I mean, a whole half a lifetime ago, we did ask our listeners who they wanted to see on what reality TV shows. And so Jennifer Newton, hello, Jen, a friend of the podcast and regularly comes and chats with me when Russell's away on his holidays, particularly. She says, after seeing her moves at the Coronation's concert, it's got to be Sophie for Strictly. Sophie on Bake Off, I'd say. She's a few smashing recipes on the go, says Shane. Quite a few people suggesting people for Strictly. Beatrice was Elizabeth Day's suggestion. Christine wants Zara on Dancing with the Stars. Elizabeth Wyckoff wants Camilla on Strictly, saying she'd be great fun. Harry could go on American Deal or No Deal on the reboot and get Meghan to reprise her role opening the case. That was Casey's suggestion. Amy would rather see Harry and Meghan on Survivor. And Core Fitness Oxford wants Harry on Survivor as well, but incognito. He could help handle the challenges. But I think my favourite, like, stealth suggestion, Dana wants the Princess Royal on Big Brother. I mean, I think...
I think they should bring out It's a Knockout again. I mean, that just looks incredible. That'll endear them to the masses.
Yeah, so... We didn't do a question of the week in the end last week. I'd left it open on Thursday back in the, you know, in the before times and thinking, yeah, we'll just see what comes up. But instead we've got an answer we didn't know we needed, but absolutely love. So hi guys, just listened to your latest podcast and thought I'd pass on why Gwyneth Paltrow called her company Goop. She was advised to have ooh in there somewhere. Other successful companies like Yahoo and Google as examples. So she used her initials and added ooh in the middle. Just some useless info. Cheers, Liz, all the way from Kerikeri in the Bay of Islands in New Zealand. Long time listener. So thanks for getting in touch, Liz. I did try this out with mine and Russell's initials. So if I use my middle name, it goes all right. You can end up with like Algoo or Alug or something. And you just end up with Room, Russell, which I don't think really would.
Too dull, isn't it? Oh, God. Can we get anything better? Mayu? Mayu?
Oh, dear. Mayu's
all... Yes, anyway. Useless. It's useless. It's better than American Orchard or whatever it is. Revival Orchard? God.
Well, anyway. Someone else did call you out.
American River Vieira Orchard.
Orchard, yeah. So Rachel says, I do think the Sussexes have gotten some things very wrong since their departure. But she was, because she commented about how, you know, you had been highlighting that at the midst of all of this Kate madness is a woman, a mum, trying to do the best for her family. So at the heart of it all with the Sussexes as well, they are a mother and father, husband and wife, trying to do right by their young family. Perhaps if the same compassion you're asking for the Princess of Wales had been shown to the Duchess in her early days, things might have turned out differently.
Yeah, it's a good show. A lot of people have been saying that, you know, Meghan was absolutely the subject of some awful commentary on social media and very tribal as well. I think that's when I came into this job, I couldn't believe how tribal it became, that there's two warring camps, and it's still like that, really. I don't know where people get the time, you know. God, can't you be bothered, like, online talking about these things 24/7? Some people are incredible every all hours of the day, but I don't know, maybe some people need to get a life.
Well, what they should actually be doing, according to a new study commissioned by the Queen's Reading Room, is reading 5 minutes of fiction a day, because that would be really good for them. So
that's good for your mental health, absolutely.
So Camilla's
a big fan.
She had a reception at Clarence House celebrating the Queen's Reading Room, and there's some very jolly tales of Noel Coward's. It's well worth reading her speech on the royal website for a bit of light relief. But she says, in addition to our five a day, our five fruit and veg, and our 10,000 steps, we should all be aiming for at least 5 minutes of reading every day for invaluable benefits for brain health and mental well-being. Just as we always suspected, books are good for us, and now science is proving us right. So the actual research study commissioned by the Queen's Reading Room, so it's neuroscientific research using brain scans, skin conductance tests, and a nationally representative study. So it's like gone full science, but saying it can reduce your stress, improve your concentration, and reading earlier in the day can help you feel more connected to others and ready to tackle challenges. So maybe we should all add a bit of...
You're an avid reader, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I try. I'm very slow these days. I have managed to finish I finished all of the Murder Clubs, the Richard Osman books, but now I'm just sad that he's going to... Well, I'm excited because he's launching a new franchise, but I'm going to miss the Murder Club crew because they're great. But Camilla, we've seen her out and about today. We're on Wednesday.
We have. She's just looking great. I will spring in her step, Camilla. I suppose, you know, she's not... It's a huge burden, I suppose. Your husband undergoing treatment, everything that's going on with the family, the fact that she very, very much is leading from the front. She is the main player, as it were, that she's having to take on extra responsibilities and be the linchpin for the royal family. But she's definitely relishing it. She was given some sweet handmade cards by a couple of young girls in the crowd today. She was at the Shrewsbury Farmers Market. Lovely sunny day in Shrewsbury. And she said that she would pass them on personally and be very careful in doing so. I think, you know, they understand the interest and the pressure that is on the family at the moment. But I think she's kind of... treating it with a lighter side by saying, you know, the king's really being positive, he's doing really well, Kate's really thrilled about the messages that are coming in and the fact that all her public statements have been received so well and people are accessing information and it's being used for a good cause. So I think that's important for her to be putting those sorts of statements out whilst carrying on about her job as well.
Yeah, and she said, I know that Catherine is thrilled by all the kind wishes and support. I wonder whether maybe it's a bit, oddly in some ways, easier for her now when she goes to these things, because she knows that while she is the person there and in the spotlight, actually the person or the people that people are probably thinking about even more are the King and Kate, and she's almost a conduit to them. And it's probably, you know, hearing people saying nice things about the people you love is a very buoying and... positive experience it can be, I think, in the same way.
Absolutely.
And we'll see Camilla tomorrow, today.
Yes,
in the
she's
past,
going
in
to be
continuing.
Yes, she's the King has delivered recorded an audio message for Maundy Thursday, and that is going to be broadcast at Worcester Cathedral, where Camilla is going to be, again, leading from the front, leading the royal family. She's going to be distributing the Maundy money, which is normally the monarch's job, but she is representing the king. And then they're going to take some time off over Easter. And hopefully we will as well, even just a couple of days, because it's been a crazy few weeks. But of course, you know, even our schedules are put in to insignificance when you realize what other people are dealing with. And again, just to echo all of our best wishes to the king and Kate and the rest of the family and any other families who are obviously dealing with such shocking diagnosis as that.
Do we know which of the family we will see at Easter, who we're expecting to see there?
No, we just said members of the royal family. I imagine it won't be a huge gathering, because obviously the king is on restricted duties and to minimise risk of infection, but we will see him walking to church on Sunday, which again is really important. And I think that it was described to me as definitely wants to show a sign of unity and stability, and that the monarchy is still stable, even though it's going through some pretty tough times at the moment.
So Easter is going to inspire my question of the week. So listeners, I would like to know what your favourite event is in the royal calendar and why, because, you know, Easter is one of those things which we do very much associate with the royal family. It's one of those set pieces, albeit in a slightly informal way. Christmas at Sandringham, Royal Ascot, Trooping the Colour, I don't know. What are the regular events in the royal calendar that you really look forward to?
Well, Trooping, undoubtedly, and it will be interesting to see, hopefully we're going to see the King. I guess Royal Ascot as well. I love going to Royal Ascot.
You just like to get your hat on, don't you?
I do, definitely. And I didn't go last year. I can't remember what was happening, but I didn't get to go. But definitely going to try and go this year. It's such a great festival. The King, we understand from the reports earlier in the week, that he's hoping to go as well. Why wouldn't he? It's just a great, great festival. And it'd be interesting, sort of the lead up to the summer, because how much are we going to see the King? Is this a start of him taking on more duties? I don't think we can read too much into it. And of course, when will we see Kate? She's got to rest and recover and concentrate on that recovery, but we may see her at certain events. It wouldn't surprise me if she popped up at one or two in the coming months, but certainly her cancer treatment, of course, is going to take precedence over anything at the moment.
Yeah, listeners, do let us know on Instagram what your favourite royal event is and why. But before we wrap up, I'm just going to share a couple more listener messages. So I shared our map that we've made. Well, not we, me and Russell, but clever people that we work with. There's a goodluckkate.co.uk. If you go there, you can see messages that have come in from around the world, and you can plot your message onto the map as well. So I shared that on Instagram, but a couple of people sent their messages direct to us as well. So I just thought I would share those because they're lovely sentiments. So Deborah said, sending you best wishes for a full and speedy recovery. You are such a strong and gracious woman. You are fierce. You and your family will come through this stronger than ever. Best wishes from Tampa, Florida. And Jane said, such a classy lady. Stay positive and pop out to see us all when you feel strong enough. William, carry on caring for your beautiful family the way you are. Kiss, kiss. So some really lovely messages being shared, and do head over to that map at goodluckkate.co.uk to add your own message. Russell, thank you for joining us today. I hope you get some nice Easter eggs. What's your favourite Easter egg? That's the other big question of the week. My Instagram is just full of people doing ridiculous chocolate Easter egg contraptions, which just look awful.
But those lint bunnies, I want one of those. I'm going to have to buy myself one of those, maybe.
One of the giant ones. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Always deserve it.
We've got lots of children at our house on Easter Sunday, so I'm going to do an Easter egg hunt. So I better go and purchase some goodies.
And a full Easter bunny outfit as well, I hope, just for the entertainment. So listeners, I hope you have some time, possibly even with family, to look forward to over the coming days. And otherwise, have some chocolate anyway. We will be back next week, and we'll look forward to talking about how the Easter weekend went and what else has been going on in the royal news as ever. So thank you for joining us, and find us on Instagram at PodSave. But until next time,
PodSave the King!